Welcome to the Temple of Healing Waters, a church of excellence, empowerment, restoration, and healing that provides a biblical basis for personal achievement in life and ministry. Let's go into the waters and be blessed by the Word of God from our pastor and life coach, Dr. Chad Carlton.
I came to give Him glory. I came to give Him worship, adoration. I just believe that when we come to worship, we ought to give Him our best. If we can give Him our best on our jobs and our best in what we wear, our best in what we do, I feel like we ought to give Him our best in our worship and our praise. I don't believe in wasting a Sunday. I don't believe in wasting an opportunity to press in His presence. I don't believe in wasting time. But when it's time to come to the house of the Lord, I just believe that we ought to praise Him with every fiber of our being, out of the depths of our souls. We ought to give Him glory. Yeah, you never know what your praise is stirring up. And the very vibration of your hand clap shifts atmosphere and changes things in your homes. It shifts and changes things on your jobs. The very vibration of the stomping of your feet causes things to war and to tremble in the atmosphere. Yes, Lord. And I believe by the time you get home, just by the trembles, it won't be like when you came. But He turns it. He turns it. I dare you to just turn around in your seat and declare that it's turning for me. It's turning for me. It's turning for me. Yes, Lord. Teach our hands to worship. Giving honor to God, to the head of my life, we celebrate the angel of this house, none other than the Bishop Chad Carlton. Let's celebrate him. Amen. To First Lady Doreese, we give honor. Mother Carlton, God bless you. Come on, will you clap for your neighbor? Let's go briefly to the Word of God. Bless you, team. Thank you, Gerard Dillon. Bless you. Let's go to the Word. Let's go to the Word of God. Let's go to the Word of God. I believe that there is something that God wants to say to us in the Scripture. Be honest with you, I tried to get out of this assignment. Tried to find every excuse I could to get out of this assignment. Just something was like, let's give somebody else a chance. Bishop said, you. I wrestled all week long. Then yesterday was feeling sick. And I said, maybe I'll call somebody and tell them to be on standby. Yeah. Just in case. But we'll see what the Lord has to say. Bless you, Mom. Love you. Thank you. Let's go to the text in Mark 5:25. And we'll go to verse 34. We're in a series on stretch. And this particular month, we're in stretch for healing. Mark 5 and 25. And we'll go through 25 through 34. Will you read it with me? A very familiar passage of Scripture. But we'll see what the Lord says. 5 and 25. You ready? Read it with me. And a certain woman which had an issue of blood 12 years and had suffered many things of many physicians and spent all that she had and was nothing better, but rather grew worse. When she had heard of Jesus, came in the press behind and touched His garment.
For she said, if I may touch but his clothes, I shall be whole. And straightway the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of that plague. And Jesus, immediately knowing in himself that virtue had gone out of him, turned about in the press and said, who touched my clothes? And his disciples said unto him, thou seest the multitude thronging thee, and sayest thou, who touched me? What's wrong with you, Jesus? You see all these people around here. What you mean, who touched you? And he looked around about to see her that had done this thing. But the woman, fearing and trembling, knowing what was done in her, came and fell down before him and told him all the truth. And he said unto her, daughter, thy faith hath made thee whole. Go in peace and be whole of thy plague. Mark 5:25-34. We're going to talk about stretch to healing. You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. Stretch to healing. We've been in this series on stretch. And it's amazing how everybody can be in the same atmosphere, hearing the same word on stretch. We started talking about Peter walking on the water. We spent four or five weeks talking about getting out of the boat. And it's amazing to me how we can all hear the same message and only some of us walk on the water. All hearing the same message, all hearing, being encouraged to do this and admonished to do the same exact thing, but only some of us get out of the boat. We talked about last week how the man that was the paralytic man, the people brought him to Jesus, and Jesus spoke to him and told him that their faith had made them whole, and that we could hear messages and nothing changes. What happens, or what has to happen, in order for something to change and to stretch in us? Bishop gave us a couple points, and I'm going to use those points. If y'all don't mind, I'm going to bring them in and tie them in. He gave us 2 points that are completely different scripture text, and I want to see how those same points apply to a very different set of circumstances. But we'll get there. But let me admonish you this. Faith is depleted in isolation. What do you mean? This woman had done everything that she knew to do. She went to the physician. Couldn't do anything for her. She spent all of her money trying to get a healing, right? And she's in this crowd wanting to get to Jesus. If you go back and study or look at Leviticus, the very fact that she had a blood disorder meant that she was ceremonially unclean, that she really should not have been in the crowd amongst the people. She had this issue of blood. That meant that something was wrong with her, and she should be ostracized. She should be separate from everybody else. She should not be in the crowd. And we've heard this term a lot this week, but she should be quarantined. She should not be amongst the people. And the scripture says that they're thronging Jesus, so she's right in the midst. And the law would say that, that by the very fact that somebody else touches her, they would be unclean as well. This woman had to be very alone. She had to be isolated and apart from everybody. No one knowing her condition would have wanted to be around her. She couldn't go out and be in public. She couldn't embrace and hug family members. She couldn't share kisses with anyone. She couldn't embrace and love. And could you imagine? Could you imagine going weeks and months and 12 years and never been embraced? Doctors say that when a baby is born, when babies have issues, when they're born, that there's a certain connection that a baby has simply from being embraced by their mother that offers healing to them simply by an embrace. Have you ever been just feeling down and a person that really knows how to hug and squeeze you tight, just by hugging them, you feel the very weight of the world falling off of you just by being embraced? Have you ever experienced just hugging someone and then and just go to crying just because you felt a touch and really couldn't explain it, but just by being embraced by someone, you felt so much better. This woman went 12 years with an issue of blood, could not be embraced. Went 12 years. I want you to think about 12 years. We're in 2020. Think about not having been touched and since 2008. Yeah, 2008. You know, y'all go get pedicures and manicures, and when they rubbing on your calves and stuff, it just feels so wonderful and good. Could you imagine not having an embrace in 12 years? 12 years is a long time to be in quarantine by people. Not only was she considered unclean, but she probably felt it as well. Having to deal with the logistics of trying to have clean clothes for 12 years, not having an Emerson washing machine. If this woman was bleeding, that means she had to change her clothes constantly and be down at the river washing her clothes consistently, just trying to put on fresh clothes. 12 years. Bleeding. We got it easy. Just throw it in the wash, put it on the cycle, shake it out. But she had to hang her clothes and wash them with stones and rocks. And by the time one set was clean, the other one was probably dirty because she was continuously hemorrhaging and bleeding. So she didn't have time to be out fraternizing amongst the people, eating and socializing. She had work to do. She had to keep her clothes clean. In the commotion, feeling like she isn't wanted around a bunch of people in her community and even around the people that were thronging Jesus, feeling like she doesn't belong. Have you ever been around a whole lot of people and still felt lonely? Felt like nobody understood what you were going through. Felt like you were all alone and in it all by yourself. That if you tried to explain what you were dealing with, oh, they won't understand. So I'll just carry this burden alone. Have you ever been with family and still felt like you couldn't talk about it? Some of you sit in church today feeling like you can't tell your neighbor, talk about it with somebody else, that you just got to carry it because the burden is so heavy. Around a bunch of believers and still feeling ostracized. I know I'm not the only one that's ever felt like you've been amongst the people and still felt lonely. But the enemy's job is to get us separated and isolated from amongst the people so that he can shift us and sift us. He comes to steal, kill, and destroy. Had the woman kept herself away from Jesus, then what would have happened had she not had the courage to come and be amongst Jesus and the people that were around him? The enemy always tries to get us to not come to church. He tries to get us to just, you know what, I'll stay home this Sunday. I got too much going on. I got a whole lot of work to do. I've got distraction after distraction after distraction, and it's the enemy's job to get us amongst or away from hearing the word of God that could change your very life. So what he does is he put things and obstacles in the way that will prevent us from getting to him. I know you say, I don't have to come to church to get to Jesus. But how can you hear without a preacher. I know you have YouTube and you have podcasts, but how? But there's something about being amongst the believers and being in an atmosphere that's charged with prayer that you can just walk in, feel something changing. I know we have all these things that we can do, but the Bible says, how good is it for men to dwell together? The spirit of unity. So faith never works in isolation. You cannot get what you need from God apart from the people of God. The word comes to strengthen our faith. The word comes so that we can charge the very lives that we live. So it doesn't work in isolation. Faith, we heard last week, is desperate. People that brought the man to Jesus were desperate for healing. This woman, as I said already, had sought the advice of physicians. They gave her one prescription after another to no avail. Chances are the same time that she had got to Jesus, her resources began to dry up. Bernie Sanders is running on the platform of universal health care. Could you imagine her trying to go and see all these physicians and money starts to dry up? Prescriptions are expensive. Here this woman is trying to be made whole, trying to be healed. 12 years. They said that she went to physician after physician. Money began to dry up. She had nothing left. Became desperate for healing, desperate for deliverance, desperate to be healed and to be made whole. She spent all her money, physician after physician, person after person, time after time, nothing seemed to work. The doctors had no more advice to give her, considered her incurable. I'm sure when she heard the power or the people speak of the power of Christ, she began to hope again for an ultimate cure. If she could just get to him, she had been in hiding for so long. She couldn't just go up to Jesus and say, Father, Master, I have this blood disorder. She couldn't admit that amongst the people that she was with. Do you know what they would do to her had they found out that she was unclean and had been around her? Can you imagine if there was somebody sitting in here today and you found out next week that they had Rona? You would be like, why in the world did you come out amongst the people with the Rona? You knew you had a fever of 104, you knew that you had a cough, you knew that you had a sneeze, and you came amongst the people. I get annoyed with the people at work if I hear you cough and sneeze one too many times. I'm like, all right. We got sick leave, we got work from home, PTO, choose one, but please, get from amongst me with all that sneezing, snotting, and coughing. Then they got a nerve to say, oh, I'm not contagious anymore. Who made you a doctor? Who told you you weren't contagious anymore? Shaking hands, touching doorknobs, in the kitchen, in the refrigerator. Who told you you weren't contagious? Could you imagine what the people would have said to the woman had she went to Jesus and said, I'm unclean, heal me. Could you imagine? I want you to think about it. I'm moving slow because I'm trying to paint the picture. Can I paint? Thank you. The woman was in the crowd. I heard the preacher say, I'm trying to make a video here. Can I make my video? Thank you. I'm trying to make my video. And so the woman was in the crowd of people, hemorrhaging and bleeding, had a condition. She could not just go to Jesus and say what she needed to say. So she had to do it in a sneaky way. She had to do it in a way that nobody would notice. She had to do it where people would not talk about her or try to push her away. So she had to come up with a plan. Y'all remember? Faith is a plan. She had to come up with a plan for her healing. She had to come up with a strategy. She said, when she had heard of Jesus, she came in the press behind him and touched his garment. That crowd would have turned on her had they realized what was happening. Many events in Scripture, we hear of people that heard that Jesus was passing by. Yes. Then they would cry out for healing. We hear in Scripture where there were people that brought paralytics and blind people to Jesus. Yes. Then they were healed. We had Jairus, whose daughter was dead. And he came to Jesus and told him what he needed Jesus to do. This is different. She didn't have anybody that she could have speak on her behalf. She didn't have anybody that could speak or do something or bring her to Jesus for him. She had to press through the crowd. She had to be intentional with what she wanted from the Lord. The Bible tells us that when she touched the hem of his garment, he felt virtue leave his body. Caused me to think, you are Jesus the Christ. If I touch you, nothing should happen to Jesus the Christ. He took on our sins. He took on our sins for our salvation. He took our sins for our salvation. That's what Jesus the Christ did. So if I touch him, virtue left his body. Doesn't make sense to me. How can me touching him allow something to leave his body? All right? So then that led me to believe that Jesus Christ is not waiting for something or going to do something for you. He wants you to do it yourself. How then can we be healed? He's waiting for your faith to touch him. How then can we get out of the boat? He's waiting for your faith, for you to get out of the boat. Some people will allow life to happen for them. Some people will allow life happen to them. Then there are some people that are going to make life happen. This woman had to make a decision that she could not go on living the way that she was living any longer. That she was going to make something happen that day. I'm not just going to let this blood disease, this blood disorder afflict my body for 12 years. Today, something is going to happen. We've been hearing about stretch for 5-6 weeks. When are you going to make the decision that something is going to happen for me? When am I going to make the decision that something is going to change in my life? I cannot go on living this way. I said it earlier in my worship remarks that some people wait for the praise team to sing their very favorite song. If they don't sing Blessed Assurance, some people will sit there with their legs crossed. I don't care. You can sing in the candy shop. You can be singing, Shawnee, drop it like it's hot. And I may look at you with one eye closed and one eye open, but when I really need something from Jesus Christ, it can be hot in church, and I loosen my tie and lift my hands. The organ can go out, Gerard, but when you really want something from Jesus, the Christ, the crowd can't stop you. When you really want something from Jesus, the Christ, your favorite person don't have to be in here. I'm going to press. If when you really want something from Jesus the Christ, it does not matter if the bishop is here. It does not matter if your feet hurt, you have a headache. I'm gonna lift my hands and do what it takes to get what I need from Jesus the Christ. Faith is desperate. Anybody desperate for a healing? He told us to stretch for our healing. Is there anybody in here that's desperate for a healing? Is there anybody in here that's desperate for a breakthrough? You've been in hell too long. You've been stressed for too long. I'm gonna stretch to Jesus. And Jesus speaks to the woman, not based on her condition, not based on what she's going through, but he says, woman, thy faith has made thee whole. The Bible says that she's the woman with the issue of blood, but he says that, woman, thy faith has made you whole. He said, come out of hiding. You've been hiding too long. Come out of the shadows. You've been in the shadows too long. I felt virtue leave my body. So he looks around to his disciples and he says, I felt somebody touch me. The disciples looked at Jesus like something was wrong. Jesus, there's hundreds and thousands of people around you. What do you mean, who touched you? What do you mean, who touched your clothes? There were thousands of people around, but this woman's touch, there was something different about it that made virtue leave his body. The scripture says that many were thronging him. But it was something about the touch of that woman that made Jesus respond to her faith. And she was trembling. But the Bible says she came and fell at his feet. What does that mean for us? Trembling? Come on. If you're scared, come on. If you're fearful, come on. If you have to do it afraid. If you have to step out with fear. If you have to step out shaking, but step out anyhow. Whatever it takes. I'm going to get to Jesus. Come on, we're standing all over the building. I dare you to just take the next few moments to stretch to him. We've been talking about stretch to healing. I dare you to just take the next few moments to stretch to him. Stretch to him. Stretch to him. Touch the hem of his garment. Stretch to him. 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 In your faith. Stretch to him. In your worship. Stretch to him. Stretch to him. Stretch to him. Whatever it takes.
Whatever it takes, whatever it takes, whatever it takes. I don't care what it looks like. I need to stretch to my healing. I want to stretch to my deliverance. Stretch to him. Stretch. Yes. Tell him that you need him. Come on, worship him. Tell him that you love him. Tell him that you need him. Tell him that you want him. Tell him that you gotta have him. Come on, press in his presence. 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 That's it, press. That's it, press. If you want to come to the altar and kneel, press. 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 Press to him. There are many that are thronging. Press till you feel his virtue. Come to your body. Press. Press to him. Press to him. Do what it takes.
We pray that you have been blessed by the word of God. We look forward to your return visit to the waters. We invite you to join us for services on Sunday at 7:30 a.m. is morning prayer, followed by worship service at 10 a.m. Bible study takes place on Wednesday night at 7 p.m. For more information about our church, please visit our website at healingh2o.org. The church number is 703-953-2817.